Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
No matter what you look like, no matter where you came from. And that is why we are so proud, my husband and I, to share Motown's story as we continue to celebrate Black History Month. See, the people that we're going to be talking about, that we're going to hear from, that we're going to listen to, the songs, the music,
these are true trails. How do you feel about Mr. and Mrs. Obama celebrating Motown music while the world is on fire? How do you feel knowing that these two inhabitants of the White House are having another party? How do you feel about the world burning while they're partying on? Do you think it's appropriate for Michelle Obama and Mr. Obama to get down with Motown while the Middle East is on fire, especially since it looks like somebody in the White House poured a little fuel on that fire? How do you feel about getting down with Motown on a day like today? Another story just came up. Another student from Saudi Arabia in America as a foreign exchange student, now charged with trying to use a weapon of mass destruction to kill George W. Bush. For years, I've told you to end all student visas from the Middle East. I've told you that. I don't want to hear any more about spreading the good word of America's democracy because it ain't going anywhere. It's time to get control of this country, because this country's going to burn next unless we, the people, wake up these drug addicts running the country. I have never seen anything like a group of people like this from top to bottom, disconnected from reality, as the time I'm living through right now. Remember, you want to hear something odd? I didn't even realize it till this minute. I've been around as an American citizen ever since, I believe, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president. I guess that makes me old. But I've lived through FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, I won't even mention the name Carter, and all the others right up to Obama the imposter. But never in history have we seen the world on fire like this with a president partying on. So again, I'll ask you, do you think it's appropriate for Obama to party on while American citizens are still trapped in Libya? China got 4,500 citizens out of Libya. The Americans can't even get our citizens out of Libya. Where's the U.S. Navy? What is the point of the U.S. Navy? What do we need it for? It can't fire a shot. It can't even rescue civilians. As I said yesterday, and somewhat comically, just homeport all the vessels in the U.S. Navy, remove their propellers, don't burn all that evil gasoline and contribute to the carbon dioxide, just use them as birthing clinics. Use the Navy vessels under the Obama Navy as birthing clinics. And clinics for social experimentation. They can't rescue citizens out of Tripoli because the water's too rough. But your grandfather could land in Normandy while the water was rough. Your grandfather could land in Normandy or Palau during rough water days, and they can't even go ashore. It's not because the water is rough. It's because Obama doesn't want the U.S. Navy to enter Libya. Don't you understand that? He hired a ferry when the U.S. Navy is sitting in offshore waters. Something is very wrong with this whole picture. Everything is wrong, as a matter of fact. A, it's the most corrupt administration, not in modern history, it's the most corrupt administration in American history. That's number one. What'd you expect from this guy? You haven't figured it out yet what he is? We know that Obama's very close friends with Libya. That came out on WorldNet Daily last night. They did the research and they discovered it. The article is amazing. I linked it up on MichaelSavage.com. You've got to see this article. They go back a long way. Oh, yeah, Obama and Remember Reverend Wright that we made such a big deal about, us evil, stupid right-wingers? Well, go read the article and see the deep connection between old Reverend Wright and Gaddafi and Obama. And then you'll find out that everything we said was right. Obama is his friend. Drudge had it up this morning. Nice picture Matt got of Obama with the Libyan nutcase who claims that they put hallucinogens in Nescafe and made the children go rioting in the streets. But here's the article. Go back to 4-17-10. Gaddafi, Barack Obama is a friend. Libyan leader praises U.S. president. He says he is of Muslim descent. His policy should be supported as he now leans towards peace. That's right. Party on with Motown. Libyan leader Muhammad Gaddafi said that the U.S. president is a blessing to the Muslim world. In a speech published in London-based Al Hayat newspaper last April, Gaddafi praised Obama, calling him a friend. And he said there's no longer any dispute between his country and the U.S. And then he said, now ruling America is a black man from our continent, an African from Arab descent, from Muslim descent. I guess now he joins the birthers. I guess now Gaddafi is one of the birthers. What is that going to do for the left wing now? Now that they know that one of their heroes, Gaddafi, is a birther, what are they going to do now? Gaddafi's on record saying, now ruling America is a black man from our continent, an African from Arab descent, from Muslim descent. And this is something we never imagined, that from Reagan we would get to Barack Obama. Gaddafi stressed that Obama's presidency is a major historical gain and said this. He said, he is someone I consider a friend. He knows he is a son of Africa. Regardless of his African belonging, he is of Arab Sudanese descent or of Muslim descent. Now, I'm quoting Gaddafi now. I'm not quoting a right winger. Well, unless he's a right winger, unless you consider how many way you want it. And he went on saying he's of the Sudanese descent and he should be assisted in implementing in any way possible since he is now leaning towards peace. Well, I get you can read the rest of it. You can read the rest of it on MichaelSavage.com. It's an interesting article. He then went on to call for the death of the Jews. That is Gaddafi. What's interesting, you know, Gaddafi 2 weeks ago called for the Arab world to rise up and kill all, to wipe Israel off the map. Did you know that? After posing as our friend for years? Ah, what's the difference? Let's play a little Motown. Let's get in the mood, because I don't want to really insult the Obamas. I mean, they know how to lead a nation. You got to hand it to them. They know how to get down and party with Motown. I mean, get down with Motown at a time like this. I guess the libs will argue that, yeah, there you go. That's the kind of music America needs. More of this. Come on now. Don't forget to say you will. Down with Motown with Michelle and Barack Obama right here on the Savage Nation. World is on fire. Oil going through the roof. U.S. Navy incapable of rescuing American citizens while China removed 4,500 of its own citizens. And our president and missus are celebrating the sound of young America, the history of Motown at the White House today. Let's listen to some of the sound. We opened the microphone in there today. Listen to clip four now. This is the First Lady.
When we moved in to this house a couple of years ago, we wanted to open these doors as wide as we could, especially for young people.
Well, hold on.
Like
well, you
me.
Did open the doors as wide as you could. That's what we're worried about. Oh, you opened them real wide. They're so wide that we don't know who's in there right now. We don't know who's in there. We don't know who's from where. We know there's a lot of grifters and con men. Oh, yeah, I'm making it up. I'm being mean. Grifters and con men from top to bottom. Now, what evidence do I have to that effect that it's full of grifters and con men? Let's start with the lead story on Drudge. Green Energy Investment Fund of Soros hires top Obama energy aide. By the way, the top Obama energy aide's husband made a fortune on windows that the government bought. The most corrupt, incompetent administration in American history. And we have two more years now. How do you feel about the Motown party? Do you feel it's appropriate for Michelle Obama, in the midst of the unrest in Libya, to be hosting a Black History Month Motown party? Yes or no? That's what I want to know. New York Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. How do you feel about Michelle Obama celebrating with Motown today?
Michael, I think it's a perfect time for them to celebrate because their plan is coming to fruition. The world is getting destroyed. They got rid of our most trusted ally, and they threw Hosni Mubarak under the bus in the Middle East, the only half-stable country. And everything they want. They want to destroy this country. They want to destroy the world, and it's working. So, of course, they're
going to fall. Let's slow down. What do you mean they want to destroy the world? You mean they want to remake the world in the image of Karl Marx, right?
Right.
This is a worldwide socialist revolution that he and Soros and Brzezinski and Carter, to my best ability to put it together, have engineered. What we're witnessing right now is a worldwide socialist revolution. They're calling it democracy in action. You're wrong. It's not democracy. This is a radical socialist revolution occurring worldwide right now. And it's all being engineered by George Soros, Brzezinski, Carter, etc., and Obama. That's the way I can figure this out. This is not happening by accident.
When are we going to wake up?
Who's going to wake up? America? The nation of druggies? The nation of drug addicts? America's going to wake up? The doctors would have to be arrested first. Before you could wake up America, A, you'd have to arrest the psychiatrists. Then you'd have to close down the pharmaceutical firms. And then you'd have to wean 50% of the American voters off drugs, prescription drugs for psychoactive problem, for psychiatric illnesses. You think that's going to happen? How many people in this administration are on Prozac or on a medicine, so-called, for psychiatric problems? What percent of Congress is medicated? No answer. How would anyone know? They don't take drug tests. You do. You go to work for a company. First thing you do is pee in a cup. They go to work and screw you left and right, get together, do deals behind your back, wreck the country, wrecking ball swinging in every direction. They're immune from drug testing. Why? Okay, I think I made my point. Let's listen to a little more of Michelle Obama in clip 5. This is important.
We do all this because we believe that the People's House, shouldn't be just a nickname. We believe that prime ministers and VIPs shouldn't be the only ones who feel comfortable walking through these doors.
No.
And I hope you realize.
No, we get it. We get it. Okay, stop it. Crypto terrorists should be in there in order to see if you can sway them. Who else should be in the People's House? I'm a little worried when they use the phrase People's House. In other words, if a Republican said it's the People's House, I wouldn't be worried. But when Michelle Obama says it's the People's House, I'm thinking of the People's Republic of Obama. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mr. Gordy, in 1960, he was a young man in Detroit with a great idea. He wanted to be one of the very first African Americans to own a record label. So he got an $800 loan from his family. They owe you big time, right? And started recording music out of his apartment.
Nowhere to run to, baby.
So Americans are stranded in Libya. China got 4,500 of its own citizens out. Turkey got its citizens out. Last I checked, most nations got their citizens out, but Obama is hosting a Motown party and refuses to authorize the U.S. Navy into Tripoli to evacuate American citizens. Now, imagine George W. Bush at the peak of the Iraq War. Picture the peak of the AWR campaign. Remember this, the AWR campaign, the bombing? What if Iraq were burning and GW hosted a Christian music festival at that time in the White House? Do you think the vermin in the media would have anything to say? Imagine GW Bush at the peak of the Iraq War hosting a Christian music festival in the White House. Now you say, well, wait a minute. What's the comparison between Motown and Christian music? Or how do you? Well, because if the Obamas are choosing a Motown as a symbol of black history, because that's their orientation. In other words, they're entitled to it. That's their taste. They're entitled to it. I grew up on Motown music. I wouldn't play it at this time in the White House during a time like this. But okay, so I say Motown, black history. But what if George W. Bush, who was a Christian man, and he liked gospel singing, what if he had a Christian choir and a festival of that nature in the White House during the Iraq War? Do you think the vermin on MSNBC would have anything to say? They'd have to double their dose. They'd have to double down on their medication. No question about that. They'd have to do a double visit to their psychiatric treatment centers who tell them that they're great. Keep on going, girl. You go, girl, even though everyone's laughing at you. Except your parents and the people who are in your corner. Everyone knows you're a psychopathic freak. You go, girl. So how do you feel about that? I mean, I know how you feel. That's just it's a trick. It's a radio trick to ask how you feel. So we've gone from Camelot to Bamelot in a few generations. We're now witnessing the emergence of the People's Republic of Obama, and it's not a clothing store. And every time the man waves from the steps of the official airplane, I say Air Force One. There he is on Air Force One. Air Force One. You heard it first on the Savage Nation. What is he doing? You want to get serious? By the way, I've asked if we can get the menu of the of the celebration today in the White House. And the menu is not being published because she was so roundly criticized for eating greasy ribs in Vail last week. That is the first the menu is. But apparently there are no photos being released. The White House has said no picture policy. Sort of like a no-fly zone. In this case, it's a no-pick zone. Even though every other president in history has always permitted parties to be photographed because there's a conversation now, an American conversation about her telling you to eat carrots while eating greasy ribs, French fries, hamburgers, et cetera, and looking like she should visit Jenny. Apparently, there's a no-photo policy in the White House. I mean, I myself ate tongue last night, La Lingua. It was very good. I eat it once in a while. Very heavy in cholesterol, tongue and brains. I eat it anyway. My mother lived to 88. She ate brains every once in a while. It's a peasant dish. She's the smartest woman I know, uneducated but very smart, very fast, probably from the cow brains. And she did not have Creutzfeldt-Jacobs syndrome. No, don't throw that at me. I know about she didn't eat raw brains, okay? She wasn't Hannibal. But the point is, I had tongue last night. That's why I'm good today on the radio. La Lingua, I recommend it for all talkers. Tongue, La Lingua.
Savage.
Motown made music for all people.
Several pilots in the Libyan Air Force have been executed.
No matter what you look like, no matter where you came from. And that is why we are so proud, my husband and I.
Working as mercenaries for the regime in Tripoli.
These actions violate international norms and every standard of common decency. This violence must stop.
Because as you know, there wouldn't be an Usher if there wasn't a Smokey Robinson. Share Motown's story as we continue to celebrate Black History Month.
Well, I guess they could send them some energy-efficient windows for the tents over there in Libya as a gesture of solidarity with their Libyan brethren. But this is a bizarre situation, unless it's seen in context. In other words, if it was just a normal February, you know, and you have a black president celebrating Black History Month with Motown, nobody would say anything. But the world, the Middle East is burning, excuse me. Oil prices are going through the ceiling. People are unemployed. The corruption is out of control. And they're celebrating Black History Month with Motown in the White House? As I said, we were looking for images of the menu. We wanted to see if they actually were following the First Lady's culinary advice to eat healthy. But apparently it's a no-pick zone, and also there's no publication of the menu for the peons to enjoy. Normally you read that they're drinking Chardonnay wine and eating salmon, like none of us could buy wine and eat salmon. You know, ooh, they're eating salmon. It's poached salmon. Every meal is topped off with a heart-killing a dessert. Every meal, without exception, is topped off with a dessert that any sane person with an IQ over 110 stopped eating at least 40 years ago. Why do they eat desserts like that? I don't understand it. Don't they know any better? Anyway, the point is, unless you see this in context, it makes no sense. So you start with Nero fiddled while Rome burned. That's how it started in my head. Let's explain how my mind works. We heard that there was a Roman emperor named Nero. Rome was burning, and he continued to fiddle. For thousands of years now, there's an image of Nero fiddled while Rome burned. So what should we say about while the Middle East burned? The guy is out of touch with reality, or, dot, 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 okay? What, is he celebrating that he did this? Something's wrong, that's all. As I say, every time I see him with the fake Reagan wave getting up on the airplane, I think Air Force One. The People's Republic of Obama and Air Force One go together like a horse and carriage. So I can ask you again what you think the menu is, but how can we guess? How can we even guess? How could we even begin to guess what the menu would be at the White House Motown party tonight? Well, I could guess, because you figure out if it's a record crowd from Detroit and musicians, they're not going to give them the menu that Michelle recommended. They're not going to eat carrot sticks. It would have to be something that the people there would enjoy, right? So let's put it in another context so you don't think I'm being derogatory. Let's say it was an Italian group that they had an Italian night at the White House with Italian dignitaries. They'd serve Italian food, right? Or what passes for Italian food in America, which is not Italian food at all. But let's put that in. Let's say it was a Jewish night, if you could ever imagine such a thing. That's impossible. But let's say for a minute that Obama would ever have a night of celebrating Jews in the White House. I know, crazy guy that I. What food would they serve? It would have to be kind of Jewish food, even though there is no such thing. The only Jewish food is Yemeni food. If you really want to know, I'm going to study this. True Jewish food is food from Yemen. Other than that, it's all Polish food from 19th century Poland. But don't get me started with foods. It's a whole separate subject of mine. But you get the drift of it. In other words, it would have to be ethnically appropriate food. Having laid the groundwork for you to think this through, we could pretty much figure out why there's a no-pick zone inside the White House tonight with the party. Okay? Let's let it go with that. We don't have to get any more graphic. Here's another one for you Democrats out there to be proud of. Seven-term Democratic Representative David Wu of Oregon is increasingly being called to step down amid a series of bizarre revelations in recent days about his mental health. Now, what do they mean by that? Both the local newspaper, okay, now this is a Democrat stronghold. This area of Oregon, Salem, Oregon, Portland, psycho central. It's psycho central for left-wing crazies. And yet the newspaper's calling for David Wu to step down. Democrat Rep. David Wu. Why? Because they think he's nuts. There was a picture he sent to staffers during his re-election bid showing him wearing a tiger costume. The state Republican chair and one of Oregon's largest newspapers said Senator Wu, Rep. Wu, should resign. But Wu said he's not going to step down. Oregon Republican Party chairman said he should step down. Wu said Tuesday that it was unprofessional and inappropriate to send pictures of himself wearing a tiger costume to staff members while he was in the middle of a heated campaign last year. He also acknowledged taking two tablets of a painkiller that were given to him by an unnamed campaign donor. In other words, he was stoned, in other words. What, OxyContin while campaigning and then puts on a tiger uniform? Congressman said regarding the painkiller, this was the only time that this has ever happened. I recognize that my actions showed poor judgment, and I sincerely regret having put my staff in a difficult position. Seven staff members resigned after the bizarre campaign event. They were so concerned about David Wu that they resigned. The Oregonian also reports that Wu's campaign was fined by state officials for failing to carry workers' compensation. Do as I do, don't do as I say. Do as I do, don't do as I say. Yeah, they're all for workers, but he doesn't carry workers' comp. He was on ABC's Bad Morning America today. That's Wu. He goes on Bad Morning America to tell the libs there that he's been treated with counseling and medication, and he has overcome any mental issues that occurred during a stressful midterm election. I would say fire him. I'd say any congressman on medication needs to be fired. Any mental medication, you're out of business. Sorry. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. You need drugs. You can't make decisions. I don't care what the quacks in white coats say. If you're on medication for stress or you're on medication for depression, you cannot make critical decisions about war and peace. The Eugene Register Guard, Oregon's second largest newspaper by circulation, published an editorial Wednesday calling for Wu's resignation for lack of candor, not because of treatment. Well, you get the picture. So now we got drug addicts on the Democrat side. We've got hooky players on the Democrat side. We have everything wrong with America coming from one side of the aisle only, and that's the Democrat side. Do you think he will resign? He's the first Chinese-American to serve in the U.S. House. I guess that gives him some protection. Wu was a political newcomer when he was elected to Congress in 1998 as the first Chinese-American to serve in the U.S. House. I'm an actual fan of Chinese-American culture, as you well know. You know, I've talked about it 100 times. I'm not covering my tracks. I'm telling you what's already known. But the fact is, the guy's a nut, and he should be thrown out. He should quit. But he's not going to retire. Why should he step down? He's not a Republican. Republican shows a bare chest to a woman in a picture. He's got to quit. A Chinese-American Democrat shows a bare brain to his staff, and he doesn't have to quit. And on top of it, wears a tiger uniform. I mean, if you bare your brain like that, and you wear a tiger uniform, I mean, that to me is as crazy as crazier than showing your chest to a woman, isn't it? Play some O-Town for me. I don't think I'm getting anywhere with the audience today. I got a feeling they're not putty in my hand today. All the postman is good for is looking at you with those high polluting trucks. I get my mail at 5:30 every day. Every time I hear a stink coming up the street, I smell it before the truck arrives. The most high-polluting trucks in America are postal trucks. Talk about a carbon footprint. You ever notice how they stink, those old postal trucks? I don't know anyone who uses the U.S. mail for anything. Does anyone use the U.S. mail for anything? Everyone I know who has anything important to send either uses FedEx, UPS, or email, right? Or texting. What's with the U.S. mail? It's just for circulars. I'm sorry, welfare check. Sorry, I realize why the U.S. Postal Service operates. Welfare checks, retirement checks for government grifters. This was a good song in its day, but play it louder. I like the Motown sound. It's a different time in my life. Had a nice little move to it. It was almost like Pat Boone. It's like post-Pat Boone-ish. How do you become a right winger? How does that work? Pat Boone's dance party. How does that work that he's a right winger now? You know, I got to think this through for a minute, because you know how many years I've joked about liberal women who were once so gorgeous that your breath was like you lost your breath when they appeared on the screen, like particularly from a certain angle. It's like, and then as time and gravity catches up with them and their derrières start to, follow the laws of nature and collapse, like I forget a few of their names. They all become left-wing fanatics. Have you noticed that? Who was the one I'm thinking of? Not Twiggy, whatever. There was one, Goldie Hawn. She was once so physically beautiful that men lost their appetite when she walked in a restaurant, okay? Then as she got older, you know, things happened to our bodies. I had nothing against her. And I said there's a quotient. The lower the derriere, the higher the liberal quotient. As the LD goes down, the LQ goes up. Remember I was joking about that? Well, now let's look at the other side of the aisle. I noticed something else. On the other side of the aisle is you got a lot of has-been. I shouldn't say this, but I'm not invited to Friends of Abe anyway, since Zelig runs it. Zelig runs Friends of Abe, so I'm not allowed to go there. Only Hollywood right-wingers go there. They're like Murano conservatives. So there's a group in Hollywood of emerging conservatives, supposedly, okay? They're all conservative all of a sudden behind the scenes. So, but I noticed that most of them have bad careers. There's almost nobody in Hollywood who actually has a viable career who's a right winger. Have you noticed that? So the worse their career, right, the higher their conservative quotient, the HQ goes up, the conservative, the CQ goes up. You can put the two in. I don't have the time to work it out, boys and girls. Get the blackboard. Blackboards are very popular right now. I hear they're a very popular gift because of a certain performer on Fox News. I hear they're the popular gift amongst right wingers who never went to high school, are blackboards and chalk. They're catching up to the Greeks. Of course, things have passed the phase of the blackboard and chalk, but we don't want to tell that to old GB. People are now using modern things such as pens. Pens have come in after chalk. They're up to pens, paper. Even pens and paper have moved on. Royal typewriters, computers, texting. But I guess, you know, look, if you went to the ninth grade and you were a drug and alcoholic, for many years, a druggie and alky. What you start from the beginning. You start with Plato. And, well, Lucky's not scratching on stone on the screen on Fox News, right? I mean, he can get a chisel next. He can work his way backwards. Instead of using a blackboard and chalk, the next week he'll wake up tomorrow and Fox News could have him on there with a chisel and a hammer. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Motown made music for all people, no matter what you look like, no matter where you came from. And that is why we are so proud, my husband and I, to share Motown's story as we continue to celebrate Black History Month.
So we have U.S. citizens stranded in Libya while China removed 4,500. Turkey removed their citizens using their navy, and our navy is busy giving lessons in berthing in their home ports. So again, I could ask you, is it appropriate for Michelle Obama to be celebrating Black History Month at a time like this? The People's Republic of Obama. Imagine G.W. Bush at the peak of the Iraq War hosting a Christian music festival in the White House. I think we've laid the groundwork for some callers. Yes. Montreal, Canada. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, it's Bill from Montreal. Up here in Canada, we're not having any parties, and we're just a 30 million people. But at least our prime minister has sent an Air Force plane over to Libya to pick up our 300 citizens.
All right. Why has Obama not sent an airplane to get the Americans who were stranded there? What did he send a ferry for?
Well, maybe he's too busy partying. I don't know.
But well, what did he think that it was? He think he was water. You got choppy water. Send in a coast. Excuse me, a navy ship.
Well, here in Canada, we got Newfoundland, and the waters are rough all the time, and people run around in boats, and they don't worry about it. Now you got the biggest navy in the world can't even go in and pick up your American citizens, and
well, maybe Obama's geography is. Look, Bill, we have a very big problem here in the United States. We have an out-of-touch first family. Something's wrong with this picture. Do you think I'm wrong to criticize them for partying while the Middle East is burning and Americans are stranded in Libya?
No, I don't think you're wrong. And being a Canadian citizen and listening to you for many years now, I'm getting to a point where I sort of wish that Obama wasn't even your president, because you guys have been in trouble ever since he's been there.
Yeah, and we've got two more years of this regime. That's what worries me. He's now acting as a dictator. He's now overriding both houses of Congress and previous presidents, and simply signing laws as though he is, an Egyptian Caesar, if you want to put it in that sense, because I'm combining Caesar with the Egyptians. You know what I'm saying? It's a bad time right now. And I think that the Democrats are going to have to do something to stop this behavior, or they're going to lose every seat in the House in the next election. You want my prediction? Out of self-interest, they're going to do something with Obama, either remove him, because I can guarantee it as I'm sitting. Look, I can't guarantee anything. I say there's a high likelihood the Democrat elders are going to come to their senses and realize that not only has he cost them almost 100 seats in the last election, all the Democrats are going to be thrown out in the next election because of this man's wild, reckless left-wing behavior. And they're going to do something. Same thing, you know, again, history. History is a good teacher for all of us. Neville Chamberlain was such a weak appeaser that his own Labor Party, remember, Socialist Labor Party, removed him from office because they said he would not be a good wartime prime minister. They got rid of him. Wasn't a bad man. He was a foolish man, a weak man for the time. And so thank God Britain had Churchill come in, or they would have lost the war. Right now they'd be speaking German in England right now. Okay, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Hawaii, Sergi, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Savage, I've heard the previous criticism by the caller saying that you favor the Republican. I don't think so. I remember how you cut down President Bush, and the same thing with President Obama. I think you look at things in a fairer way, and you're not afraid to state your mind.
I got to disagree with one thing you say. I'm very afraid to speak my mind, but I do it anyway. And I'll tell you why. Because if I don't, who will? Well, someone has to. Somebody has to do it. You know, you ask any man who's gone into battle, whether it's a fight in a schoolyard or a fight in the military, they'll all tell you that they're all frightened, but they did it anyway. Am I right or wrong about that?
You are correct, because you're not afraid, and most radio talk shows.
No, I am afraid. I just said I am afraid. I am afraid. I overcome my fears because we have to stand up to this petty dictator.
I agree with you, I listened to you from Hawaii, and I clearly appreciate your service to America.
Well, that's fair enough. I try my best. That's the only reason I do it at this point. Okay, Flap Less Coast More, Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Newspapers call for Congressman Wu to step down. Recent days about his mental health, including a photo he sent to staffers during his reelection showing him wearing a tiger costume, and he admitted he was on painkillers. Seven staffers quit. There must be much more to the story about a Congressman David Wu. He's actually not a bad congressman. He's somewhat of a centrist, incidentally, which is very intriguing. And, of course, that's probably why they want to get rid of him. He's not left-wing enough. Gaddafi strikes back as rebels close in on Libyan capital. That's the New York Times making it sound way cool. They're making it sound like Gaddafi's some kind of liberation, sort of a Black Panther in the 1960s. Gaddafi strikes back as rebels close in on Libyan capital. So you ask yourself, which side is the New York Times on? The answer is they don't know. If they knew, they would never publish a headline like that. Rebels versus Gaddafi? Now he's a hero to the Stalinists at the New York Times?
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Because we believe that the People's House shouldn't be just a nickname. We believe that prime ministers and VIPs shouldn't be the only ones who feel comfortable walking through these doors.
No,
and I hope you realize this experience that no one here is any different than you all are.
No,
whether that's
no.
Smokey Robinson or
no conservatives,
John
of course.
Legend or me or my husband.
Her husband?
We were all sitting where you were at some point.
That's a Hillary trick, calling Bill Clinton her husband.
I can't believe that. We were teenagers once. Not so funny.
Really?
We were.
You were? You were an actual teenager? So how do you feel about the People's Republic of Obama and the two leaders of the People's Republic of Obama flying around in Air Force One? While the Middle East is on fire, celebrating Black History Month with Motown Night. How do you feel about the fact that China evacuated 4,500 of its own citizens using airplanes while the U.S. Navy is not being used, nor the U.S. Air Force, to evacuate American citizens? How is it possible that this could be going on while the Middle East is burning? Well, you know the answer, because if it's incompetence or something worse, I pray I'm wrong. But imagine if G.W. Bush, at the peak of the Iraq war, hosting a Christian music festival at the White House. Do you imagine what the vermin in the media would have said? Can you imagine what the slime, the Philistines in the New York Times would have said? Can you imagine what the Philistines and the Associated Press would have said if G.W. Bush would have hosted a Christian music festival at the peak of the Iraq war? What would the Philistines have said on ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN? That's the question. Of course, there's no answer to the question because it didn't happen. And therefore, we are stuck with what we are stuck with because we don't have a true democracy. We have a sick system broken down the middle by special interests. Everything that was good about America now being decimated by the man with a wrecking ball, Obama the Destroyer. As I described him in Trickle Up Poverty, the raging bestseller, I said he is like a child who takes apart a fine watch and then can't put it back together again. Remember that, those of you who read my book? Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. Remember that important book? Well, it's an important book for many different reasons. President Obama, I wrote, is like a destructive child who takes apart a priceless watch that was carefully passed down to him. Without regard for the value of what he holds, he recklessly scatters the pieces on the floor and then can't put them back together again. Failing to learn from his mistakes, this destructive child moves on to another room where he finds another watch to take apart. Once again, he cannot put the pieces back together. That doesn't stop him from tearing apart yet another costly timepiece until all that's left are the pieces of discarded functionist watches lying at his feet. What's worse is that nobody steps in to stop him before he destroys again. I've been watching in stunned amazement as Obama the Destroyer systematically takes apart America, piece by piece, while the complicit fifth-column government media complex and the lapdog political leaders remain silent. Barack Hussein Obama is tearing down everything that was built before this man was even born. Look no further than the fundamental requirement to preserve America's borders and national security, and I go on from there. And 110,000 words later, and 350-some-odd pages later, you have the most brilliant book of the last several years called Trickle Up Poverty. This book will be a cherished collector's item in years to come. That is assuming that we overturn the dictator. That is assuming that the Democrats step in and remove him from office before his term is up, which could happen. We might still have a chance to hold on to this country. If they don't do it, the chances are that all will be lost. That's my personal opinion. I believe that the man is so emboldened by his own hubris that he's going to be not impeached. I believe there could be some other kind of move from within his own party, maybe on a medical. I don't know what. Remember, these are powerful people in this country, and they put this guy in there, and he's out of control. That's really what's going on here. They never see it happens with all people that they use as a puppet. Eventually, the puppet wants to control the puppet master, and that's when the fun begins. We don't know what's really going on between the puppet and the puppet masters yet, but something's going on. Something's wrong. Texas Lance, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It was one thing, now it's four. First, Smokey Robinson to Usher, please. Come on. That's crazy.
Michelle said that there had to be, whether it's Smokey Robinson. What did she say about Smokey Robinson? Was she talking about Smokey?
About Smokey Robinson. If there was no Smokey Robinson, there would be no Usher. Come on.
I don't understand the genre that they're in. Are they in the same genre of music?
Absolutely not. Not even close.
Who is Usher? I heard the name. I know it's something to do with the music. I don't know who it is, honestly.
I've never listened to his music, but I have listened to Smokey Robinson, and I can guarantee you the words coming out of Smokey Robinson's mouth never... But the words coming out of Usher's mouth never came out of Smokey Robinson's mouth.
Okay, I get it. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, was that who they were? I don't even remember. It's just so long ago. But do you think it's wrong for her to be celebrating the history of Motown at the White House while the Middle East is burning and Americans are stranded in Libya? That's the whole point. Of course it's crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the whole point. That's the point. If we had a legitimate media, they'd be up in arms over this. It's frightening that we have a media that is so complicit with this man's outrages. How is he getting away with this, Lance? There's only one reason, because he's a sacred cow. And I'm going to say it again. If this were a white president, he'd never get away with this of any party. I'll tell you that right now. They're afraid to say one word about this man.
I agree with you 100%. If you'll indulge me, second question you asked, what are they eating at the White House?
Well, yeah, what are they eating? Because I understand from inside sources that pictures are not allowed in the White House because Michelle was so slammed for lecturing people to eat healthfully and eat carrot sticks while she was caught fressing on greasy ribs, 1,600 calories a shot.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is they're eating? It was grown and processed in China.
Well, I don't know. It would have to be appropriate to the crowd, wouldn't it? To the Motown crowd? Well, but it's a different generation. Maybe they eat more healthfully than 30 years ago. I wouldn't know. I remember when I was a kid, there was a famous song in Detroit, Barbecued Ribs. Remember that song? Going back? Can you guys find that song? And Detroit, Barbecued Ribs. I do remember that. There was actually a song dedicated to Detroit barbecued ribs going back. Is it a Motown song? I don't think that they... You do have the song, Phil? Right now? I want to hear it.
Brawlers, a Detroit barbecued ribs. You get the treat of the week.
See?
But when you dig that real fine job at the welcome beat, fall in there, lose your lead at the house of blue lights.
Great song, House of Blue Lights. But he was celebrating Detroit barbecued ribs. So I don't know what's being served. I doubt very much whether it's barbecued carrot sticks. That's all I can say. Let's put it at that. Now, you say, why are you wasting everyone's time talking about the menu when we have so many big things to talk about? Because, you know, sometimes you can see the big things through the little things, like the hypocrisy, for example. And I'm not talking about a style of music. I didn't say hip-hop-cracy. I said hypocrisy. I know it's a day of music, but they're not celebrating hip-hop-cracy. They're celebrating hypocrisy in the White House right now. Now, you got Americans. I think they're still stranded in Libya, and the U.S. Navy has not been sent in. They're busy giving diversity training to the crews, teaching them how to get along with each other. Birthing clinics are being established in the U.S. Navy ships right now. Women are being put on submarines, taking out the torpedoes to put in women's toilets. That's the U.S. Navy now. It's incapable of firing a shot, and it's incapable of even rescuing civilians. That's the U.S. Navy under Admiral Mullen. There's Admiral Mullen here. Don't I look good in this usher's uniform? Yeah. What a Navy. What a Navy, the new Navy. Well, at least it isn't like the old Royal Navy. You know, Churchill had we haven't devolved to that point yet. Remember what Churchill said about the Royal Navy? It was built upon, if I remember correctly, rum, the lash, and, you know, devolve. Well, wait a minute now. Hold on now. Let me think about that. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Middle East is on fire. Americans are trapped in Tripoli. How do you feel about Obama celebrating Motown Day while 4,500 Chinese were able to flee Libya by ship, while Americans are stranded in Tripoli because the Navy is too chicken to send in a ship to get them? How is it possible that Chinese ships brave churning seas today to whisk some 4,500 Chinese workers away from strife-torn Libya to the island of Crete, while the American Navy refused to send even a ship or an airplane, and Americans are trapped? Planes are coming in, military planes from Europe, ships, take out stranded workers, tourists, whatever. And Obama's partying on at the White House. What has happened to this great U.S. Navy of ours? I don't have an answer for this anymore. How did this happen that the U.S. Navy will not fire a shot in anger? Remember just last week, four American tourists were killed by the pimp pirates. And now you have the Navy even unable to conduct a humanitarian mission. How has it happened that we have a crippled military under Obama? How is it possible? Remember what Winston Churchill said about how the Royal Navy was built. He said this Royal Navy of ours, this is a direct quote, was built upon rum, the lash, and sodomy. Now, thank God we haven't evolved to that level, because I know that they don't permit rum aboard ships, but... And they don't let's leave it at that. Rum, the lash, and sodomy, according to Churchill, is how the Royal Navy was built. And those days, thank God, are behind us, well, to a certain extent. And the question is, do you think there's any relationship between rum and the lash and the American? Well, you get the picture. Something's wrong with this picture. They can't fire a shot in anger, and they can't even conduct a humanitarian mission. How is it the Chinese ships can brave churning seas to whisk away 4,500 Chinese workers, while the new liberal Navy under Commander Obama will not even enter the port of Tripoli a little up the coast to get the Americans out of there? Remember, we had a U.S. Navy that landed in Normandy during high seas. Remember that? We had a Navy that landed in high seas off Palau and other places. Now we have a Navy that doesn't want to get their shoes wet. I mean, we have men in the Navy who would do this. The most brave men on earth. They fly helicopters in storms. But when you don't have a commander in chief, instead you have a party animal, a socialist party animal. That's what you have. You have a socialist party animal in the White House, the People's Republic of Obama. Air Force One, from Camelot to Bamelot in one generation. Utah, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, just wanted to comment. You know, when President Obama said the transformation you can believe in, he was only talking about a domestic agenda. The reason why he's not getting involved overseas is the foreign policy agenda costs money. He only is interested in the...
What makes you think he's not deeply embedded in the fires in the Middle East? What makes you think so?
He doesn't... If he is, it's behind the scenes because he doesn't...
Well, of course it's behind the scenes, but we have uncovered evidence through the media itself that this Egyptian uprising was carefully planned for well over 2 years. It was funded by an Egyptian billionaire. The fingerprints of Carter and Brzezinski are all over it. So don't assume that Obama's not responsible for these fires that have been lit in the Middle East. They're just gambling on what? They're gambling that democracies will emerge? Do you think a democracy is going to emerge once Gaddafi is gone?
No, I do not.
You know, Putin is quoted, Vladimir Putin of Russia. Think what you want of the man. At least he tells you like it is. Putin says that the fires that have been set in the Middle East will burn for decades. I think he put it that way. He also sneered at Obama today by saying, yes, you want democracy. What makes you think you're going to see democracy emerge? I don't have the article in front of me. I read it this morning. I guess I can find it if I search. But you get the drift. You get the meaning of what Mr. Putin said. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255, or you can look at these stories up at michaelsavage.com. Warships arrive in Syria. A minister who fled Libya says Gaddafi will do what Hitler did. He'll take his own life. And people are fearing that he will use gas and Scud missiles on his own people. And, of course, the genius Gaddafi claims that the revolt is fueled by the youth of Libya, drinking spiked Nescafe, spiked with drugs. He claims that bin Laden did it. It's funny he didn't say the Jews did it. I don't know what's going on with him. Sounds like he lost his mind completely. He went off script. Did you think he mixed up bin Laden with the Israelis, the Israelis? He may have mixed up bin Laden with Israelis because I think he meant to say the Israelis spiked the Nescafe with drugs. How could he blame bin Laden? That's his pal, isn't it? They got everything wrong. These guys are crazy. They were in power for so long. Barack Obama is a friend, said Gaddafi. Praised him back in April of this year. Did you see the article yet? I linked it up on michaelsavage.com from Ynet News. Dated 4/17/10. That would be April 17th for those of you who can't figure out what the little hand and the big hand mean. See, if the little hand is on the 4 and the big hand is on the 6, it means it's 4:30, right? Those of you who grew up in the computer digital age, you can't read an analog clock. If the little hand is on the 4 and the big hand is on the 6, boys and girls, that means it's 4:30. See? Now, it's the same thing with a date. 4/17/10 means April 17th, 2010. And on that date, the Libyan leader said that the president of our country is of Muslim descent. His policy should be supported as he now leans towards peace. He clearly said he is of African Muslim descent. So that means Gaddafi is a birther. He has now joined the birthers.
Savage.
Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Let's love, baby. Let's get it on. Sugar. Let's get it on.
Woo-hoo. When we moved in to this house a couple of years ago, we wanted to open these doors as wide as we could, especially for young people like you. And this music series is one of the ways that we're doing that. We have held workshops for all different types of music, classical, country.
You know, this is just like classical music. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Getting down with Motown. Let's get it on. Classical music, just like Brahms, Beethoven. Same kind of thing. Different strokes for different folks. Mm-hmm. So what questions do I have for you? None. Another bomb plot uncovered. Saudi Arabian student, foreign student, charged with trying to set off a bomb, buying the material to kill George W. Bush at his ranch. You hear this? Now, I have very strong opinions on this. I have for years. I've been consistent with this. I would end all student visas from the Middle East until this culture war is over, the civilization, war between civilizations is over and we've won. First, we need a president willing to get up and say we're fighting for our lives. You know, there's not one religion on earth that goes around the world and tries to impose itself like this upon other peoples. I've never seen anything like it. It's right in front of our eyes. And if you don't do it, they sue you. They get their friends in the ACLU. It just happened to a Tulsa, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, captain, a police captain. He was forced to go to some Muslim event. Listen to this. Listen to how devious they're becoming. It was called a Police Appreciation Day. So a Muslim group invited the police to attend where there would be, cultural things mixed in with prayers, etc., if they wished to participate. It wasn't required. The police captain said because of his Christian beliefs, he's not going to attend. They punished the police captain, and he's rightly suing the Tulsa Police Department. There's not another religion on earth that comes into a country and so aggressively tries to proselytize, as do the Muslims. That is a factual statement. Wherever you turn, whether it was drinking fountains or foot baths for cab drivers, remember in Minnesota? Everywhere you turn, an attempt to twist this nation into a pretzel. Used to be when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now when it's because Rome is now weak, to use that analogy, because there is no Rome in Rome. There is no there anymore because the guts have been degutted. It's like a fish without a gut. It's a spineless nation without any leadership whatsoever. So they come in and they figure, hey, roll them over. Roll them over. They're a bunch of crackers. They're busy on Listen, let me tell you something. I don't blame them. I'll tell you why. Let's say you're from Somalia or from one of the African countries and you're a devout fanatic, Muslim fanatic. And you come into this country, you turn the TV on, you see sluts and degenerates and reality shows, you know, real hookers of Beverly Hills, real hookers of Miami, real hookers of Atlanta. And you look at the women, you can throw your guts up. And you start to think all women in America like real housewives of these shows. Then you look at shows like Dog, The Bounty Hunter. You look at one show after another, you cannot understand how a country like this can even exist. You scratch your head. Everything is a charade. Nobody looks like they're real. Everybody looks like they're fake. That's because they don't know the real American. So they push. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And there's very little pushback because our so-called elected representatives are so frightened or on drugs, one or the other, that we are being rolled over just like the saps that they think we are. Now look at the White House. Now let's go all the way up the food chain and look what we have. Look what we have at the White House. Getting down with Motown while the Middle East is burning. U.S. Navy afraid to go into churning waters to rescue American civilians. The Turks got ships in there. The Turkish Navy went in there. The U.S. Navy won't go in there to rescue civilians. What's going on with this country? Now, don't even get me started on NASA. I spent a whole chapter on how Obama's destroying the U.S. military and NASA. You didn't believe me. Except the 200,000 people who bought the book. The man gutted NASA. After the next shuttle mission, after this, there's two more. The shuttle is over. We're going to have to buy seats on Russian shuttles to get up to the space stations. Obama destroyed NASA. Do you understand that? He's weakened us in space. Do you have any ideas destroying our nuclear capacity, destroying our abilities to fight from space? He's weakened the Navy to the point that it won't rescue civilians in Libya. What has to happen till you figure out what's going on around you? You say, well, look, Mike, calm down. We threw 100 of the bums out. We threw 100 communists out in the last election. And what did you get? Tell me what you got. You got K Street back. You got the crybaby Boehner. You got the pink tie. The pink ties took over. So you threw out the reds and you got the pinkos. Where's the red, white, and blue O's? You went from the red O's to the reds to the pink O's. Where's the red, white, and blue now? Tell me where they are. Okay? Pittsburgh, PA. Mick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I got to tell you, you're so on the money about Mike Mullen. Admiral Mullen is just nothing more than a Washington sycophant. You know, I'm a retired naval officer, and I'll tell you, the only reason I follow him is purely out of curiosity. This guy's a disgrace as a naval officer. The only branch...
I looked him up. How did he become chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? He has no distinguished... nothing of distinction in his military career, by the way.
God only knows. He doesn't even look like a leader.
No, but wait. Let's start from the top. That his parents were PR agents in Hollywood, I don't hold against him. That has nothing to do with anything. The man looks good, he sounds good, but he has no distinction in his military record that I know of. The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs was a real warrior, if I'm not mistaken, from the Marine Corps, an actual combat veteran. How is it that we have a PR agent as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? You know, there's supposed to be a separation of various branches of the government. It is true that the president is the commander-in-chief, but he's supposed to have vociferous arguments, if necessary, from the military when required. I don't think that there's anybody left in the military leadership that will argue with Obama.
The only ones are the Marines. That's the only ones I see with anything left in the Marines.
Yes, and they're trying to gut the Marines, by the way. By the way, I want to ask you a question. Are you listening to me in Pittsburgh, PA?
Sir. Yes, sir, I am.
Are you listening on WPGB, the FM station?
Yes, sir. You got it.
I found that I have a phenomenal audience in Pittsburgh. Would you, on this station, though?
We love you.
Awesome. Awesome. Old Steeltown.
Hey.
Old Steeltown. The sons of Steeltown. Love Michael Savage.
You say what a lot of us can't say, but we love you here. In
That's right. But this is how you think. I know that. This is how the men of America who are never seen, never heard, think. I know that. I know it, Mick, because I'm from another generation. In other words, what I'm saying is not that unusual to people who still feel and think about things. It's unusual if you work for a newspaper, let's say, to even think like this because they've been so brainwashed they can't even think anymore. They go along with the program. You know the game here.
I know.
All right, Mick, thanks for the call. Enough self-aggrandizement on the Savage Nation. What else is in the news that we have missed thus far in the Savage Nation? You didn't know I was on WPGB in Pittsburgh, a big FM talker. What numbers? These are big numbers. I just got them today. Whoa. December, 5.9 share, people 25 to 54. Those are big numbers. I asked for numbers finally because I never look at my ratings. Because, you know, ratings in radio, I shouldn't even get into this. I'm not going to be specific. It's like the stock market, up and down and down and up. An early program director, when I first started, said to me, Michael, slow, because I used to always want to go higher and higher. I wanted to be syndicated from day one. And I kept saying to him, well, why are my numbers not consistently going up every book? He said, Michael, think about it. He said, if your shares went up every book, you'd have 100 share and there'd be nobody left on the radio. He said, it doesn't work that way. He said, so your ratings go up and then they go down and they go up and they go down. That's the way it is in this business. See, it was a wise analysis of what ratings really mean. There's only a limit to what you should think about in terms of... It's like money, I guess, in the same way. Unless you're George Soros, you lose some money once in a while. If you're George Soros, you conduct revolutions and you profit from it. In other words, you set the Middle East on fire and then you bet on oil before it happens. Now, how do I know that happened? I don't know. I'm just guessing, since he's the smartest man on earth. You would. I'll bet you $1 million. I'll bet $5 to anyone listening that if you could get the real truth, somebody working around Obama profited or is profiting directly from the turmoil in the Middle East, whether it's on oil, either short, long selling, gold, short, long selling, or on currency speculation. There are people making billions of dollars off this human tragedy. Do you know that? All right, you don't want to hear about it. You don't want to know the corruption level. It would make you sick. Green Energy Investment Fund hires top Obama energy aide. It's on the top of Drudge. Revolving door. Did you read this story? New Soros investment fund profiting off Obama's green energy push hires top Obama energy aide. In my day, they go to jail. My day, right in prison. Right in prison. Who's going to put him in prison, though? The same people who gave us the SEC under George Bush? They're going to put him in prison? The Democrats or the Republicans are going to imprison somebody? Yeah, read the whole thing. Read the whole thing. Katie Thompson gave this story up on CNBC. Who's profiting? Ah, you don't need the name. Zoy, someone named Zoy. It's like soy. So the person's name is Zoy, was Barack Obama's acting undersecretary for energy and assistant secretary for energy efficiency and renewable energy, whatever that means. She's an Al Gore acolyte, Zoy, which rhymes with soy. Anyone who sounds like soy is good to Obama. You get hired immediately. Zoy was Obama's point woman on subsidizing green tech. Now she's going to work for George Soros, to profit off of subsidized green tech. That's a little joke. It's an in-joke. George Soros is accusing anybody who criticizes him of anti-Semitism. So I thought I would throw a Jewish joke in. I call him George Soros instead of George Soros. If you remember Zoy's name, it's because of another green tech conflict of interest. Zoy's husband is an executive at a window company, Sirius Windows, which the White House regularly held up as a poster child of green industry. Made a fortune. Ms. Zoy is married to Robin Roy. You see, it rhymes, Zoy and Roy. A top executive at a privately held manufacturer of, quote, sustainable green building materials located in California. And so Zoy disclosed ownership with her spouse of 120,000 vested and unvested stock options in the window company, a company her office regulates and that she may profit from. And Sirius Materials, that company pocketed federal stimulus money too. In my day, she goes to jail. Zoy and Soy go to prison. Zoy and Soy get indicted. They're investigated by Daryl Issa, and they get right in the slammer. New Soros investment fund profiting off Obama's green energy push hires top Obama energy aide. So, in other words, the corruption has never been at this level. Never in history. That's why you can see you got corruption and you got delusion in one. All in one. People's Republic of Obama celebrating Motown Day. That's what I'm going on. It's not that I care about Motown. I like Motown music in my day. It's like a background song. I always like, hey, Mr. Postman. Play Mr. Postman for me. That's when the postman delivered the mail, you know, by 3 o'clock. I get my mail at 5 now, 5:30. Smoke from the postal truck precedes the postal truck. Talk about carbon dioxide. So that's what they're celebrating now. How about Let's Get It On? Let me hear Let's Get It On. That's another great Motown hit. I like Let's Get It On. Yeah, they... Hey. Who didn't remember Let's Get It On? Remember that? It was a beautiful tune. It's February 24th, 2011, man. You don't celebrate Motown while the world's burning. And we don't know what they're eating. That's what bothers me because I'm a foodie. So jealous that I'm not there eating those Detroit barbecued ribs. How do you feel about women being put into submarines? Do you realize they're going to have to turn this off for a minute? How do you feel about Obama and Admiral Mullen demanding that they put women on submarines? There's nothing wrong with women in military positions at all. But on a submarine, it means they have to, A, accommodate women, which means build special toilets for women, which means they're going to have to remove some parcel of military equipment, some portion of maybe a torpedo tube to build a nice women's exercise room in case they want, you know, to get, like, we're going to get relief stress. Oh, take out a torpedo. Take out a whole silo and put in some kind of stepmaster on the submarine, right? They could claim that they need a stepmaster because they're feeling stressed out from all the men looking at them. Do you know how many lawsuits are going on in the Australian Navy right now from women who claim that the men are sexually abusing them in the Navy? You have any idea what's going on in this country under Obama the Destroyer? Listen to Mr. Mullen on military diversity right now.
My message to all those in uniform, and including Muslims in uniform, is how much we appreciate their service, the difference that they make. I have for my entire career, the diversity of our force is one of its greatest strengths. Not unlike what the Secretary said, that no one should draw any rapid conclusions.
Now, this was after the Fort Hood massacre. Diversity is the greatest strength of the Navy. If you went to the graveyards at Normandy, would you see diversity in that graveyard? I wonder. Is there great diversity in that graveyard in Normandy? I'm wondering. Was that a diverse military at that time? It's an uncomfortable question. I know that it's almost impossible to ask. I feel embarrassed to ask it because it's so real and it almost sounds pornographic. In others, we live in such an upside-down culture that everything is so reversed that filthy, dirty rat mouths like Chris Rock can curse white people, put down tea parties and call them racist, and they hire them over and over again. A filthy, dirty, degenerate mind like that is held up as a comedian. You hear? But when I ask commonsensical questions based upon reality, I'm shunned, I'm banned in Britain. I'm called every name under the sun in this upside-down society. Thank God I have my audience. You are the bedrock of my survival. I mean that. I mean, that's because I exist for you and you exist for me. I'm telling my audience how much I appreciate you. There's nothing like this in the world. You don't understand the danger we're in. Many of you may understand it. When you have a guy like George Soros profiting off Obama's green energy push, when you got General Electric, Immelt, profiting off Obama's conniving ways, and then they put on this freak show on MSNBC that day in and day out supports the corruption and the incompetence of Obama, you have the government media complex. I rest my case.
Savage.
All day I've been puzzling about Motown being celebrated at the White House while the Middle East is in such trouble, and I've been sarcastically saying Nero fiddled while Rome burned and Obama riddled while Libya churned. But I may have been mistaken because the great leader has just spoken, and I'd like to play it for you. Perhaps I should hang my head in shame. I didn't realize he had such incredible insights. Listen to this.
Tonight, we continue one of my favorite traditions here at the White House by celebrating the music that's at the heart of the American story. And as we come to the end of Black History Month, I can't think of a better way to do it than by honoring the legendary sound of Motown.
Let's get it on.
See, I was wrong. I mean, he does have perspective. It wasn't about Libya or the Middle East. It's admittedly about stranding Americans and not using the military to rescue them. But he did give a speech about the American experience. And we're still trying to investigate which American foods are being served there. We don't think it's carrot sticks. We're trying to find out exactly what the diet is. Diet for Healthy Planet, I would assume, is not being served. Probably Diet for Healthy Record Label Executive. Record Executive, does that work? With no pictures allowed either because of the big deal last week about the ribs in Vail by the First Lady and the last trip, you know, the hamburgers and the mashed potatoes and the fries. You say, well, why are you going on about it? Hypocrisy, not hip-hop-crisy, hypocrisy. Okay, let them eat cake, let them eat carrot sticks. See, you could see a lot about a president who's so hypocritical. They tell you what to do and they're liars through and through. Their donors are making a fortune. Soros is getting paid back now. The green energy company. Are you kidding me? GE's backed them to the hilt. They're making trillions of dollars in deals. That's how the freak show survives on MSNBC. It's like a vanity press, MSNBC. It's like self-published books. The freak show. 2 hours, Motown. Very appropriate. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very appropriate. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Let's get it on.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Going on in the world today. Obama's AWOL on Libya. How's that? While Gaddafi slaughters his own people, Obama is hosting a Motown event at the White House. Tonight, as hundreds are being killed in Libya, strafed, bombed by airplanes, Barack Obama and Michelle will be dancing the night away to the Motown sound. What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? Why are the Obamas celebrating right now? Are they disconnected from reality? Or are they actually celebrating the violence and anarchy that they created with Jimmy Carter and Brzezinski? What's interesting, and this is amazing, 4,500 Chinese have been evacuated from Libya by sea. They got their citizens out of Libya. But the U.S. cannot get Americans out of there? We have an Air Force. We have a Navy. How come the Navy can't get our citizens out of Tripoli when the Chinese and every other nation can? I guess the Navy should just homeport all their ships and, you know, take off the propellers and use them for birthing clinics. Another bomb plot. It's on michaelsavage.com. Did you hear about it? A Saudi student was arrested in a plot to bomb George W. Bush's home in Texas. He was here as a student. You know what I think of foreign exchange students, don't you? You know what I would do if I were president with foreign exchange students, don't you? Well, I'm pretty much, you could figure it out. Certainly end all student visas from the Middle East. How's that? That work for you? Obama's mystery links to Gaddafi were uncovered by WorldNet Daily. You're not going to believe it. You've got to read the article. It's linked on michaelsavage.com. Ex-mental hospital chief at Napa State Hospital sentenced to 248 years in prison for sexually assaulting his own son, dating back to 1966. There's another story you mustn't miss. A police captain in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was fired, disciplined, because he refused to attend an Islamic event put on by the Islamic Society of Tulsa. It's an amazing story. We have no other religion in America trying to force themselves down everybody's throat except one. And the ACLU is suing the FBI, saying the FBI violated Muslims' freedom of religion because they listened in on this radical mosque. Okay, FBI, here's your chance to dance in the sun. What else is on michaelsavage.com? The threatening scent of fertile women. I didn't write it. The New York Times published the article. It's fascinating. The threatening scent of fertile women. I'll ask you to read it. How about this one if you're a dog lover? Dog risks his own life to protect a dying friend. Did you know this? This is from the London Daily Mail. Well, forget it. You're not interested in dogs. How about porn dogs? Porn queen Jackie Smith, she's the vermin who banned me from entering England. Porn queen Jackie Smith blames sexism for her downfall. Really? Her and her husband, well, okay, you got the whole story. That's what England's become today. Under the Lib Dems. Socialist bums. 1-800-449-8255. Dog risks his own life on busy road to protect his dying four-legged friend. You could rip your heart out. On a busy road in China, where his companion has been knocked down by a car and vehicles zoom past, a dog risks his life to look after a stricken friend. With horns honking and despite the terrifying sights and sounds of the traffic, the golden-colored dog stays put, standing guard to protect his fallen friend. Thanks to the loyal help of the other dog, the first was picked up by a passerby who buried him. Once his little job was done, having seen the man carefully pick up his dead mate, the unheard dog bounded off to safety, better than most people I've met in this world. This is an astounding story. You gotta look at this. This story is reminiscent of the tale of Grey Friars Bobby, a Skye Terrier who became known in 19th century Edinburgh after reportedly spending 14 years guarding the grave of his owner, John Grey, until he died himself on January 14, 1872. A year later, Lady Burdett Coutts had a statue and fountain erected at the southern end of the George IV Bridge in the Scottish capital to commemorate this animal. Did you know that in 05 there was a Hollywood film made about this Skye Terrier called The Adventures of Grey Friars Bobby? 14 years guarding the grave of his owner. God, Teddy, I don't know if I want you to live out in the cold that long. All this and more on michaelsavage.com. What a horrible day out there. But don't worry about it. Lady Obama is getting down with Motown. Teddy is sitting here next to me in the radio studio. You know, it's how many times my dog, when I run into people, they all want to know how Teddy is. It's amazing to me how this little guy, this little 11-pound gray silver poodle, I call him Silver, how important he's become to my listeners. But then we all love, you know, animals. Kind people love animals. There's only one group on the planet that hates animals as a principle of their worldview. And, of course, that should tell you everything you need to know. But we'll let it go at that. I don't trust people who don't like dogs. I'll tell you that. I especially don't trust people who hate dogs. Let me put it to you that way. But we won't go into that in any detail. I'm sure you could figure that out. So Teddy's fine, by the way. Teddy's fine. People love dogs. They don't know about such things. If they get in a fight, they just fight. I don't think they plot. Do they plot like human beings to destroy others? I guess they'd be humans if they did that. Well, wolves do. I mean, wolves plot how to hunt prey, don't they? Don't wolves calculate how to hunt down prey? Of course they do. They hunt in packs and they hunt down prey. Of course they do. Sure, we're no different than the wolf in that regard. Anyway, I don't have a wolf. I have a poodle for that reason.
Savage.
New York WOR booth, you're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? You're the only one that will talk about the self-hating American Jew and how they're aiding their own destruction. Okay, I'm an American Jew with family that comes from Israel and Iraq. And let me tell you something that's comical yet sickening. Every year I enjoy going to New York, to the New York Israeli Day Parade, okay? And I like to see the flags and the parade go by, but I also like to go because I like to have shouting matches with the protesters, who are usually Palestinians and Israel haters and, you know, and things like that. For the past 5 years, okay, I've been going there. I like to yell some Arabic choice words and things that they don't like. I realize that these people don't understand Arabic. They don't speak Arabic because you know why? Because I'm yelling at Jews. That's why. I'm yelling at people that hate themselves and that protest against Jews in Israel. Isn't that sickening?
You mean why are there so many American Jewish communists who hate Israel? Is that the question?
Well, it's a rhetorical question, yeah, but I mean, they hate themselves. I don't know what the reason
is. Well, I can't answer for every person of that particular orientation, but I can talk about a few of them who worked for Obama. Let's talk about somebody whose name is not as familiar as it once was. Let's talk about Axelrod. Do you know the name who I'm talking about?
Oh, yes, of course.
David Axelrod was, until very recently, well, he's one of the men who put Obama in power. He's a genius community organizer. He is a student of Saul Alinsky, which I will not go into. And Axelrod is a committed lifetime leftist radical who learned his trade in Chicago, if not literally at Alinsky's feet. Certainly, he cut his teeth in the arena that Alinsky laid out for him and dominated for several decades. And I have the evidence of this. The reason I'm talking about Axelrod, is because Axelrod is now back sequestered in Chicago. He is of Jewish descent. And Axelrod is trying to re-engineer Obama into the White House. He's running the campaign committee. That you know, correct?
Oh, I mean, just the fact for him working for Obama, to put him in there. Obama's been the worst on Israel. He is the worst. I mean, you know, look at everybody in his administration. You got Cass Sunstein. You got a whole bunch of people who are all Jews who hate themselves, and they want to see the destruction of Israel. And then,
well, you know, I don't actually go along with the self-hating Jew concept or they hate themselves. I think they love themselves. I think that you've got that a little wrong, and I think that when you come to understand that some of the early Marxists were all of wealthy Jewish backgrounds, it starts to fit the mold a little more clearly. You understand the mold was not broken after the Bolshevik Revolution. The mold was just put away in a factory. And new protoplasm was poured into the mold. Booth, if you follow the analogy.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand.
Let's talk about David Axelrod. David Axelrod helps elect Obama. He sees Obama's shafting Israel. He sees Obama is catering to the Muslim Brotherhood. He sees that Obama is doing everything possible to make life for the Israeli Jew impossible. He sees that Obama is destroying the United States of America piece by piece. And although Axelrod is a committed lifetime leftist, according to what I can understand, because his parents were leftists as well, even though his father was a psychologist who was not politically active, his mother, Axelrod's mother, Myrl Axelrod, was a journalist who worked for the leftist tabloid newspaper PM in the 1940s. You may not know this, but this journal was pro-communist and boasted amongst its writers communist sympathizer I.F. Stone. Do you know who I.F. Stone was?
No, I do not, Michael.
I.F. Stone was a lifetime Jewish communist America hater, loved by the American left in the 60s. Okay? Now, I can go into great detail about Axelrod, and I will do so at another time. And I will tell you that Axelrod is a student of Alinsky. He's a student of Rules for Radicals. He's a student of taking down the rich in order to help the poor. In other words, he is a student of everything that we are fighting right now in this country for our survival. And unto itself, you can understand it, because Axelrod is a lifetime committed socialist slash communist. So Obama, in that regard, is his dream. However, does he not understand that in electing a man like Obama, he's electing the demise of his, if you want to call them, brethren in Israel? How do you explain Rahm Emanuel? Rahm Emanuel's father was an Israeli revolutionary. Did you know that? One of the founders of the State of Israel and one of the early terrorist groups. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I am.
Okay, so how could a man whose father helped found Israel put Obama in power, who is so anti-Israel? How does that figure?
You just said it in not too many words. It's party first, Jew second. That's what it is. Party, leftist agenda first, religion second. That is their religion, is the leftist ideology. They put Judaism second and third down the line. It doesn't matter anymore. The agenda, the left-wing agenda, is number one. That's the religion, and I think that's the reason. I think that's what you were trying to explain. Did I get you right?
Well, how do you feel about Jimmy Carter getting up today and having the audacity at the center to say we have nothing to fear in the Muslim Brotherhood, when the Muslim Brotherhood themselves have such amazing things to say?
Well, I mean, Jimmy Carter has always been a known Jew hater, you know.
I know he's been a known Jew hater, but why do you say he's been a Jew hater? Maybe I missed something. Why do you know that Jimmy Carter is a Jew hater if so many Jews love him?
Well, I mean, like I said, the Jews that love him, it's party first, agenda first, and the religion comes, that's what it comes down to first.
Let's go to the general population listening to the Savage Nation. The majority of the show, 99% of the show, are people who are not of the Jewish faith. Why should they care about Israel at all?
They should care about Israel because Israel is the only place on earth that is ours, that is Jewish. Well, we're welcome. That is our homeland. I mean,
who do you mean our? You mean fellow Jews. But if most Americans are not Jewish, why should they give a rat's behind about Israel? That's the question. What has Israel done for us lately is what most Americans are asking. They're out of work. They've been robbed. They look around and they see guys like Madoff. They see names like Madoff. You think that he hasn't spread anti-Semitism? You want me to, like, look this right in the eye? I am not afraid to look anything right in the eye. You want to look it right in the eye? Take a look at the names of some of the worst people of the last 10 years. Shall I read the names to you?
Well, you're right. There's a lot. I mean, Madoff, that did create a lot of anti-Semitism. You're right, and there's a lot of
right.
Jewish Christians.
Well, go down the list of other people who have created anti-Semitism in the last 5 years in this country. I can name five people who have done more to make people hate Jews than anybody in the last 50 years, and they're all American. How is that possible? This is the sickest time in American history. I've never seen anything like this, how so many people are so idiotic. Rejoice not, O Philistia, all of thee, because the rod that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a basilisk, and his fruit shall be a flying serpent, and the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and thy remnant shall be slain. Now, what does that mean from Isaiah? It can mean anything you want it to mean. It can mean anything you want it to mean. Oh, yeah, it can mean anything you want to mean. You can read Isaiah. You can read anything into Isaiah. See ye up at Ensign upon the high mountain. Lift up the voice unto them. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole earth. Who is he talking about? Who was God talking about through Isaiah when he said they come from a far country, from the end of heaven? Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole earth. Who was he talking about, the United States of America? Only if you're a sick leftist who lives in New York City or Berkeley, California, can you think that this is an evil nation. Only if you are so demented that you were born to communist parents who poisoned your brain with hatred of this country, even though this country gave them everything that their ancestors ever dreamed of. Only if you are a poisoned leftist can you believe this is an evil country. Who are you going to turn to when they come to destroy you? Who are you going to turn to when they come to destroy you in your town? Who are you going to turn to when you realize you brought them here? Who are you going to turn to when you realize you put these clowns in office? You put these Jew haters in office? You pay secular Muslim, and you put the most hateful throwbacks in power the world has ever seen. Yes, who are you going to blame? Who are you going to blame? You're going to read about Babylon? Are you going to pick up the Bible at that time and beg God to give you, to spare your life? Why should he spare your life at that time? Everyone that is caught shall fall by the sword. Their babes also shall be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Who is he talking about? Who is Isaiah talking about? And why was Isaiah, the prophet of biblical times, used by God to bring forth the word of God? Was he talking about ancient times with the ancient olive growers? Or is he talking about you? Savage. Well, that's one of the intelligent teachers in Wisconsin saying she's doing it for the children, and that if they lose this, they're not going to have weekends. The children won't have weekends either. They'll be child labor. In fact, if they have to give up any of their money and pay for their health care and their insurance for their pensions and insurance for health care, why, they won't have weekends. The children won't have weekends. The poor children won't know what to do with themselves. So do you know what's going on in Wisconsin, Milwaukee? I mean, it's amazing to me that the country is finally catching on to who Obama is, and how the unions, of course, and the people are against each other in this country right now. Once again, we're facing battles this country fought many, many years ago. The left-wing radicals in Wisconsin from the unions have mobbed the Capitol with rent-a-mobs. They've taken the children out of school and used them as fodder for their lies, because the teachers and the others, the state workers who are affected, don't want to pay what everybody else pays for their health insurance and towards their own pensions. I pay for my own pension. I pay for my own health care. Why shouldn't they? And now they're comparing the governor of Wisconsin, who simply wants to prevent his state from becoming like the United States of America, meaning bankrupt. They're comparing him to Adolf Hitler, with a little help from Jesse Jackson, of course. Now, I could ask you which side you're on, because I'd like to discuss this. Are you on the side of the teachers? Do you think that the teachers in Wisconsin and elsewhere should not pay any percentage of their income for their health insurance and for their pensions? You know, the average city teacher compensation tops $100,000. Did you know that? Did you hear that? How do you feel about the Democrats leaving the state and hiding in another state? How do you feel about a state where the Democrats, instead of coming to the plate and doing what they were elected to do, which is vote and lose, they disappear and leave the state? As far as I'm concerned, they should be thrown out of office. So now we're going to go to the callers. That's all. Jonathan in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. The union labor movement, my belief, is critical and fundamental to the existence of a middle class in this country. And the demonization, in broad general terms, of the union labor movement, I think, is terribly unfair and doesn't speak to the history.
Your first statement is that unions are necessary for the survival of the middle class.
That's correct, sir.
Well, the fight in Wisconsin is actually the middle class who threw the Democrat socialists out, who was saying no to the union. So how do you define the middle class? The voters are, by, let's say, definition, generally middle class, and if you add up all the numbers, wouldn't you say most voters are members of the middle class?
No, I wouldn't necessarily subscribe to that generalization. I think people.
Okay. Well, you say that most voters are rich.
I say most voters vote, you know, across a broad spectrum of economic.
Yeah, but by and large, would you say that there are more rich voting than more middle class or more poor voting? Would you say that in any election, generally, isn't it generally outweighed by these by the poor and the middle class rather than the rich? There aren't that many rich. So by by numbers, you can't say that the vote is dominated by the rich, can you?
Well, I think the polls, to a certain extent, are dominated by the rich, but not necessarily because of their vote in the ballot box. It's because of the financial influence that they exert with respect to political contributions.
And oh, you mean like poor Obama, who had a struggle to get the $1 trillion to become president? Where did that money come from?
For very wealthy constituents and a broad base of small contributors because of.
So now you want it both ways. Now you say that Obama was elected by poor people and very rich people.
Well, he won the election, I think.
Well, but I'm saying where did the $1 trillion come from? How did an unknown senator raise $1 trillion? Where did it come from?
Through powerful political connections.
Okay, but let's go back to your main point. My point is that the middle class is rebelling against the unions because the unions don't represent the interests of the middle class in Wisconsin. The middle class are the ones who pay the taxes, after all. They're saying we're taxed to death and we think the teachers should pay a fair share of their health care and their pensions. So how can you say it's the middle class that the unions represent when they don't represent the middle class?
I would disagree with that point because I think the broad range of people who are represented by collective bargaining agreements and who are union members, whether they're teachers, firemen, policemen, garbage men, toll collectors.
Right. And you don't think that most of them are overpaid and their pensions are too high? You think pensions of $150,000 a year are the correct pensions for firemen?
You think
that the middle class can afford cop pensions of that magnitude or firemen pensions of that magnitude? You've seen what's coming out and what kind of monies they're taking in.
But I think in any instance,
I mean, by your own definition, the cops and firemen are retiring, are now members of the rich.
I don't happen to subscribe to that fact because, first of all, I'm a member of two separate unions. Wait a minute.
What fact are we talking about? Cops and firemen are retiring with gargantuan pensions that the states and cities can't afford. They're the pensions that you would normally associate with the rich, not with the middle class. You see the kinds of numbers. They've been all over your newspapers in New York. You know that. I'm not making this up.
There are some extreme examples and some unfair practices like in any other area, but for the most part, the general membership of the...
Oh, really? Are you sure that most cops don't fake sicknesses in their last year on the job in order to qualify for a certain disability benefit that adds to their pension in their last year so their pension goes up by 30%? You don't think that's a standard tactic being used now across America?
It happens, but I don't think you can general...
Well, I think if you studied it as closely as I have, you'd see that it's more generalized than you may imagine. But let's get back to your main point, Jonathan. You think the unions are necessary to protect or sustain the middle class? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then let's use the example of the auto industry. Is it not true that the unions destroyed the auto industry in Detroit because of the extraordinary salaries, pensions, and benefits that they demanded for their auto workers?
I think what destroyed the auto...
Wait a minute. Excuse me. Why do you think they moved their factories to Mexico? Because they couldn't afford to build a car in Detroit. They got so lazy and so fat on union contracts that the whole middle class was destroyed in Detroit because of the unions. It was the unions who through greed, destroyed the middle class. Jonathan, come on. Listen, you're probably a nice guy. When I was younger, you and I probably would have been friends, but I have an older man's wisdom. The fact of the matter is, when you think about this again after the radio show, you know, in the middle of the night when you lay down, you know, Savage raised a good point, that the unions destroyed the auto industry. And the proof is that they moved the factories to Mexico. You look at half the cars that were made in Detroit, they're made in Mexico now. Why? Because there's no union wages, no union pensions, no union health care. Yet the people in Mexico are producing nice cars. They're doing it for a decent wage. They're not they're not living on nothing a day. They're making a decent wage, but they're not making the extraordinarily high wages with the high benefits that the auto workers demanded out of the auto companies in Detroit. So I think your argument has been destroyed by mere fact that I've given you one major example, a clear one at that, of how unions, in fact, do not support the middle class, but often decimate it. I want to talk about something else, because it's bigger than unions, it's bigger than teachers, it's bigger than the headlines of the day, and that is the implicit brotherhood of all men, the sacredness of every human personality. I believe in those things. I believe in decency. I believe in morality. I believe in spirituality. Sure. That, in fact, the only hope for the world is if more people truly understood the teachings of Jesus. I know you find this very hard to understand, because people say, well, I don't believe in religion. I don't want to worship anybody. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to temple. And I say to them, you don't have to go to church or temple to understand the meaning of the teachings of Jesus, because his suffering was a universal suffering. And that message, if it's actually understood by all people, would diminish human suffering around the planet. You take the most evil person on earth, if they could be reached at all, unless their souls are not there at all. And there are people, I believe, without souls. And I don't want to get too esoteric or spiritual right now, because we're going to go back to the union riots that are going on in Wisconsin in a minute. I want to say again, there is a respect in me for man as man, number one. There's a respect in me for the brotherhood of all men, the decency of all men. But we have to work together. Do you understand that? And to simply say that the governor of Wisconsin is an evil man because he wants to take away collective bargaining rights of teachers. He's an evil man because he wants to force teachers to pay 5.8% of their salaries towards their pension, and about 12% of their health care benefits should be paid for by themselves. He's an evil man, and they have lost their rights. It's all rubbish. Unless the American people come to understand that the party is over, unless the people in this country come to understand that unions have destroyed businesses across this country, unless the American people come to understand the reason we lost the auto industry is because of union benefits and union wages compared with other nations where people make a decent wage, but they don't make an exorbitant wage. They make a wage equal to what they're actually doing, and therefore the auto manufacturers going to those countries, not to Detroit. The reason Detroit is hollowed out is because the unions destroyed Detroit. I understand that. You think I like paying as much taxes as I pay to support the deadbeat bums in this country and pay for health care for criminals across America? I don't like it at all. You think I like paying for the corruption in the U.S. government? You think I like paying for Obama's flying around on Air Force One to go raise money on his behalf instead of on behalf of America? I don't like it at all. But I pay every cent. I pay retail on my taxes. So nobody likes to pay any more than they have to. The question is, what are we going to do about it? So we have some Republican fiscally conservative governors who are saying, here's what we're going to do about it. You're going to pay a little bit more than you're paying. You're going to pay something, rather, towards your pension and your health care, and they're rioting. And they're trying to paint Governor Walker in Wisconsin as some kind of evil man. Under this plan, public employees such as park rangers, teachers, and prison guards will have to pay a portion of their money for their health care and for their pension, and they will lose the right to join unions, which are fundamentally dictatorships. If you're against dictatorships, how can you be for a union, which is a dictatorship, is what I'd like to know. And so I'd like to ask you, whether you're an employee of a state somewhere in America, who do you think is going to pay your pension, and who is going to pay for your health care if not you? You have to pay a part of it. Who do you think pays for my health care and my pension? I do. Any company in America knows that this is what's required, is that people have to contribute towards their own benefits, or else it's not going to happen. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Chinese mom. This is a good article. Remember I read about why Chinese moms are superior? Well, now her daughter is in the paper. She's airbrushed. 18-year-old Sophia Chua Rubenfeld 18-year-old Sophia Chua Rubenfeld says she's got a Chinese mom and a Jewish father. These children could take over the world. Is that a stereotype? I mean, this is amazing to me. Actually, I know a guy who's Jewish who married a Chinese woman, and they have a child. The child's beautiful. So I said to him, I said, Dave, it's very unusual for Jewish guys to marry Chinese women. He says, well, you know, I'm a guy who likes to hedge my bet. He said that to me. I swear to God. He said it. It was very funny. A teenager at the center of New York City's hottest controversy speaks out in defense of her mother. So this girl says, big deal. My mother was tough, so what? Look at me. Now Chua's eldest daughter, Sophia Chua Rubenfeld, tells her side of the story already. Tiger mom. They're calling the mother already a tiger mom. I'm not interested already. I like the article, but the tiger mom already, I could do without. Now it's turning it into a book promotion. Sophia Left and Lulu Wright were raised by parents Jeff and Amy in a strict household, blah, blah, blah. All right, big deal. Good luck to them all. I hope they do very well. I hope she sells a million books. It makes no difference to me. But you think a mother like that's so easy to live with, you're wrong. You know, would you rather have a mother that was that tough or a hysteric, who didn't know what was going on at all, that fainted every time you came home with a little blood on your head because you got hit in the head with a stickball bat or something? You know, that's also tough, by the way. What's tougher, a hysteric or a mother that makes you study hard? I mean, you know, what is it, easy being a person to begin with? Everyone has a tough mother one way or the other. No matter who the mother is, it's the toughest role in the world. It's different for the mothers and the fathers. I've come to understand that. We're nothing, the men, compared to the mothers. Look, I got the pillow today. It says anyone could be a father, but not everyone could be a dad. Okay. It's true, but being a mother's harder because they give birth. We don't know anything about that. Man, what do men know about giving birth? We can't even take pain. Women know how to bear pain. That's how they can live with men. And that's how they can put up with children today altogether. So I don't know even what it's a strict mom. Oh, because you have a strict mom, but she's intelligent and she's leading you somewhere. What if you have a hysteric every 2 minutes going into like a maniacal fit over something that happened? Like from the time I was 5 years old, I'd get into fights or get hit in the head with things in the Bronx with ashes they would throw down from Longfellow Avenue. You always had street fights. No guns, no knives. We used ashes. In those days, there was pollution. And we used a byproduct of pollution in the Bronx. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's such a different era. It's very funny. I think it would eventually led me to the tropics and my interest in volcanoes and botany was the ash from the incinerators in the Bronx tenements. You talked about free association. That's a good one. No, let me explain to you. I lived on a street. It was called Longfellow Avenue. So the Bronx. So there was a street above us on a hill called Bryant Avenue. And there was a lot next to us, an empty lot. Nothing was built in it, but like trees and God knows what. So the guys on my block would fight the guys. We're talking 5 years old. The guys on the block above us, and we'd run out with ash can covers, and they would rain down upon us like it was something out of like a Roman battlefield. Ashes that they took out of the incinerators. You know when you burn down garbage, it becomes hard as like lava rock? That was called ash. Okay? They belt pollution all over the Bronx, and left at the bottom of the incinerator was ash. It was like a volcanic stone. So the little gangsters, we'd all grab stones out of our basements of the tenement, and they would grab theirs. And to protect yourself as we try to run up the hill and conquer them and throw them down the hill, it was like Animal Farm. No, like Lord of the Flies. They would throw ashes down at us, and if you held up the shield in the right way, you could have, but you'd hear the booming and the banging and the pinging. I swear to God, it was like some Roman war. So I was never really great at it, but I went along with the game. The guy I really worship was great at this. He always got to the top of threw the leader down the hill. I always ran along the side of him with my little shield, and inevitably I'd get hit in the head with an ash. If you're rushing up a hill, now that I think about it, you got an ash can cover. And ash is raining down. How could you get hit in the back of the head? So I was fragged by some kid. I knew that son of a gun did it. Now I figured it out. It took me a half a century to figure this out. So I get hit in the head and I bleed, all right? So I didn't panic. You have to go home, though. That's the rule is when you get hit in the head as a kid and you're bleeding, you got to go home, right? You're off the battlefield. It was like the equivalent of the red badge of courage. I go home bleeding from the back of the head. It was a flesh wound. That's all it was. I had a Russian aunt. You'd come in. She was as clinical as like a surgeon in a trauma ward. She'd look at you through the glasses, analyze, get out the peroxide, get out the cotton, touch your head, clean it up, put a Band-Aid, and push you back out to go fight another day. I dreaded coming home to my own house. God rest her soul, Ma, I'm not trying to mock you. My mother, if I came in the door with any blood on me, she'd throw herself on the floor screaming, "I'm the one bleeding! I'm the one coming in the door bleeding!" And she throws herself on the floor hysterical. "Oh, my God, what happened?" So I would dread coming home with this. I'd go to the aunt. The aunt would clean the head up. So I got off on a sidetrack here. Why I love my strict Chinese mom, I don't quite know. Oh, I was saying, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a tough mother who was drilling you to be successful every day? No play dates, being no school plays, no TV. You're going to be number one. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have a hysteric who threw themselves on the floor if you came home with a little blood on the back of your head?
Savage.